You're listening to the Skiff Podcast. Last week, as the world came together to celebrate International Women's Day, news that a Brazilian tourist had accused seven men of gang rape in a remote region of India prompted Skift Asia editor Pedin Bhutia to ask in her headline reporting on the story, is India safe for female travelers? Today on the podcast, Pedin and Skift research analyst Sonia Zampore, both based in India, join Skift editor-in-chief Sarah Kopit to discuss the case, its effects, their experiences as women in India, and why, ultimately, the answer to Pedin's question is yes. Everyone should visit India. For continuing coverage of this story and all the latest travel news and research, visit skift.com.
It's been a rough couple of weeks for India as the country deals with the alleged gang rape of a tourist and the assault of her husband. It's a tough topic, of course, but an important one. So today I have with me to discuss Pedin Bhutia, Skift's Asia editor, and Sonia Zampore of Skift Research. Good morning, both. Now, both of you live in India and have been following this case. Pedin, for those listeners who haven't been following so closely, can you first take us through a little bit about what has been happening?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. So, Sarah, this happened last week when a Brazilian tourist, who is also a kind of a social media influencer, she and her husband were traveling around the country on their motorbikes. And they decided to leave from India to Nepal via Jharkhand, which is a state in eastern India. I'm not too sure, but I think they had put up tents and they were staying there. So they had made a video saying that they've accused seven men of gang rape in Jharkhand. And of course, during this time, what the Indian government has done, that I think four of them were caught, were apprehended the next day itself. So the treatment given to this particular incident was that, you know, people were caught and they were taken to court. The High Court took sua motu cognizance, and they decided, even though there was no case as such that was filed, but they decided to, you know, give a judgment. And they have also asked that there should be a kind of an SOP that should be there for travelers coming into India. So, yes, it also shows that, you know, the government has taken cognizance of the incident that has happened and has done things. But once again, it has raised the question about the safety of travel in India, especially for women.
Yeah, I mean, how could any of us who were kind of in the news business or you know, following in 2012, forget when this, I don't know, that was the first time I really kind of took notice of this issue, when there was the gang rape and killing of the 23-year-old student on that New Delhi bus.
The Nirbhaya case.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what's it been like as far as kind of travel and tourism? It's been 12 years since that happened. What has the feeling been around the solo female traveler between then and now? Do you think that the government and other agencies or even the travel community has taken the necessary steps to make solo female travelers feel welcome in the country and safe? Not just welcome, safe, I guess, is the better way to say that.
I did a story on it, and I immediately got a message from the Ministry of Tourism saying that they're planning to work on certain SOPs for women travelers. And we hear a lot about these things. So there was a helpline, but sometimes, you know, I remember when I was doing a story, I tried to reach out to the helpline just to check. But it took me about 35 minutes to get a person to answer the call. So these things happen, and it's more about implementation. We hear it on paper. You know, on paper, everything looks really good, but implementation is an issue.
Yeah. Sonia?
There were a few changes that were made, like they reduced the age to be tried as an adult from 18 to 16 after this happened. And since then, we've seen an increase of solo women travelers to India. In fact, there was a 5% year-on-year increase in 2023. But going back to what happened in December 2012, right after that, tourist arrivals actually dropped over the next 2 to 3 years, women tourist travelers to India. So you can't really say that, you know, that it's just going to be for, say, another 6 months. It's more long-lasting than that. And like Peden mentioned, the legal processes or even after a case is reported, how long it takes to actually approach it and the whole process after takes so much time that a lot of times, even in India, a lot of rape cases are not even reported. Again, there's a lot of shame attached to it as well. So that brings in another angle to it.
Do you think that has decreased since, I don't know, the media attention kind of has forced it into the public discourse? Do you think it's gotten better over the last decade?
I think there has been more awareness.
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, there's more police patrolling. But I think it really depends on which geographical area or which part of India you're talking about. There are certain areas, some rural areas or some places that you have to be careful at what time, how you dress, certain things you have to think about before you go out to these places. So these things do still apply, but I think there is more awareness than what used to be.
Yeah. So in this particular case, as Peden, as you said, these two people, these two tourists who were in India, they were kind of like, as we say, influencers within the space, and their social media presence was kind of a big part of why this case got so much attention.
Absolutely.
Talk to me a little bit about how that has played in India. You know, when I was preparing for this and after you wrote your story, Peden, I went and tried to find the Instagram to watch it, and it had already been taken down, so I didn't get a chance to see it. Talk to us a little bit about how the social media, kind of everybody, everywhere, all at once aspect of this, and being able to see, you know, their faces and kind of report this out themselves to the world, how that has changed what maybe the public is thinking or what everyone is thinking about India all over the world as this is going on.
So Sarah, as Tanya mentioned, there's a lot of stigma attached to rape.
Right.
The thing is that, you know, this person came out. I saw the video, when it first was reported, this person came out and she and her husband talked about it. Yet Indian media was not naming this lady because there's a lot of shame attached to rape. Indian media decided to keep her identity a secret, whereas she was on social media talking about the fact that, you know, what she's faced.
Right. Right.
And you'll see that we hesitate a bit when we try to write rape in the headline, you know, as Indian media. I mean, like, so we tend to write words like assault, outraging, modesty. You know, I don't know why we can't just write rape. Even when I was doing my story as well, I did not write rape in the headline because I still have that thing that, oh my God, should I just write? But I mean, like, if it's happened, then why can't we just write it? So there is a lot of stigma attached to rape. And that is why most of the rape cases in India go unreported, because it's either the families, it's either the people who talk about the fact that, you know, we can't talk about it. We can't say that this person was raped. But yes, the fact that they were influencers helped expedite the whole thing.
Right.
It was one of the fastest resolutions that I've seen for myself. But it also raises a lot of question about India as a market because, you know, India does not have very impressive inbound figures. If you look at the inbound figures of India, for a country like India, we touched the 10 million mark in 2019. But now we are back to about like 6.5 million inbound tourists. And when people hear about this, you know, of course, they will not feel comfortable traveling to India on their own. And Brazil is a strong market for women group. you know, women traveling. So it's a strong market, and India was trying to capture that market. But the news about this has spread really fast in the Latin world. And of course, you know, when I spoke to people, they talked about the fact that though they haven't received any cancellations as yet, but there will be negative consequences on the reputation as a destination. But yes, to your point, yes, the social media thing did help to get this resolved very quickly, more quickly than anything I've seen before.
Has there been any controversy about that in India, about the quickness, I suppose, like maybe a rush to solve this, quote unquote, solve this case?
Sarah, the thing is that India is going to elections, right? We have an election, impending election. It's either next month or the month after. We don't have the election dates as yet, but it would either be April or May. And for any government, you know, something like a foreigner being raped, gang raped, is not something that they would like to fight elections with.
No.
I think, Sarah, like you mentioned, right, a lot of discussion or there's a lot of outrage over also over the fact that this case is being discussed as much as it is because this woman came out and openly shared what happened to her, which you do not see a lot in India. We do have a lot of rape cases in India so many times of the year, right? But why is this one being resolved this quickly? Because she came out and talked about it. So, I mean, it took that to sort of, you know, prick our conscience, which is sad.
Do you think that culturally in India, for people who live in the country, not tourists, that this case will help break some of that shame that you guys have both talked about?
You know, this is something that when I posted my story, I got a lot of comments that were not so nice, talking about the fact that how dare you shame India, you know, right. And they threw rape statistics at me and said that in, you know, 2018 rape statistics, and they've been telling me that, you know, see the rape statistics here, and how can you just blame India? But it was not about the fact, it was not about a country, it was about the fact that keeping tourists safe. So somebody also commented on it that, you know, in the same state, a few days later, a dance troupe artist was raped. But there was hardly any talk about it in the media.
Right. And that was an Indian woman and not a tourist?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of like the accusation might be that if you are a foreign woman, who
then
is
the
all
media
over social
takes
media.
Note. Then everyone talks about it.
Yeah. So you talked about how the justice system worked really fast to resolve this case, maybe kind of controversially so. But what about other sorts of kind of procedural safeguards for tourists? Has there been any you know, action that the tourism boards or, you know, the government itself has put into place to try to perhaps get women travelers to not cancel those trips, as you said, or to kind of limit the negative consequences from all the publicity?
There are destinations like Kerala that have something called she destinations. So she destinations are destinations specifically catering to women.
Yeah.
Their safety. There are tourist police in some places like Goa, which is frequented by foreign travelers.
Yeah.
There are these cab services specifically catering to women, pink cabs for women. So, yes, I mean, you see a lot of those happening, but these will be centered around tourist hotspots. So the place where this lady was is not a place that's frequented by most tourists. I mean, like, I don't know, hardly 100 tourists must be going there, foreign tourists, I mean,
must be
going there in a year. So while these places have some kind of rules and protocols in place, India is a huge country, and providing safety for people, you know, when I was doing the story, somebody said, I think more important than anything is educating people, educating a tourists as well and people as well. As India, you know, as we are advancing towards becoming the third largest economy in the world, we also need to educate the people about culture, make them sensitive about the various cultures. We have, you know, we are having the Skift India Summit next week in India. Yeah. And some of my colleagues, female colleagues, are coming down from the US to India. So, you know, when I was talking to them, the first thing I told them is get a local number here and, you know, be available on WhatsApp, be connected all the time. And don't be too friendly with your guide or driver, because in India, there's always, you know, there are certain things that we need to remember, even as tourists and then as, you know, as Indians as well, that we cannot be too friendly with the driver or the guide. So, I mean, education, both for the tourists as well as for the citizens, is very essential, and making each other conscious of the culture.
So, Peden, that's really interesting to me that you say that about not being so maybe friendly with your guides or your drivers. As an American, stereotypically, it's thought as American tourists, we are, as a group, I suppose, naturally pretty friendly, talkative, boisterous bunch. Would you say that culturally, Americans are too friendly with their drivers or with their guides? Tell me a little bit more about that. This is really interesting to me.
So, Sarah, friendly, you can be friendly with your driver or your guide. And of course, you need to strike a rapport with the guide, with the person who you are going to travel with for a really long time. But oversharing things. You know, like talking a lot and oversharing about your details, your personal life details.
Right.
You don't really know who's what and right. how people take process things. Because in India, there's always that thing that people do not share a lot with, you know, with the people that even with fellow travelers, they don't share a lot.
I feel that as an Indian, I think it's just how you are. It's good to be aware of the fact that you're traveling with somebody that you do not know. So your driver, for example, your tour guide, for example, it just comes with, I think, the fact that you do not know the person that well, to not overshare. I mean, be nice, be friendly, be a nice person, greet
right,
them.
Right, of course.
But
yeah.
But that does not mean that you share personal details or anything that you wouldn't tell somebody that you don't know that well.
Right. I was going to ask, like, to follow up, is that perceived oversharing kind of seen as an invitation, I suppose?
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, see, like, I might be slammed for saying this, but you never know who takes it, who processes it in what way, right? So that's why, you know, that's why we say that don't venture out at night. I mean, like, venturing out at night should not be an issue, but you don't really know what's going to happen.
This might just be off topic, but
go ahead.
So sex education is not as widely talked about in India as you see in most other parts of the world, right? So I think that somewhere also causes a gap, that it's sort of a taboo. So somewhere, I think when we speak about education, that aspect of it comes in as well, that as kids, if you're raised with along with basic values, you need to be raised with normalization of the human anatomy, if I can call it that. So I think if that happens widely over India, you know, a woman smiling at you wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Right. Yeah, situational awareness when you're traveling is so important.
Yes. And also, Sarah, we need to understand that, you know, while India has progressed and a lot has happened, but in still the smaller cities and in the interiors, men and women interactions are they're very defined. So
right.
You will not find men and women holding hands or, you know, so that is immediately interpreted as something else.
Right.
I think it's sort of like you go to some place, you have certain cultural norms in place, right? You read up about them before you visit a certain destination. So I think for India, that would certainly be one of the norms. Like Peden mentioned, you do not, I mean, holding hands in certain places in India wouldn't be, I mean, where this assault happened in comparison to doing that in a place like Mumbai. Right. In Mumbai, potentially people wouldn't look as much as a place like that.
Yeah. I mean, India obviously is a huge country. You know, I'm sitting here in Brooklyn, New York. You know, New York is different than Alabama, is different than Texas, is different than, you know, California. So, you know, any big place definitely has those different cultural norms depending upon where you go. How invaluable it is to have, Peden, you were talking about, you know, giving tips and other information to your female colleagues that are coming to India in a week. It's invaluable for us to have, you know, you and Sonia as a resource. What would you tell other female travelers that maybe don't know anyone in India, who don't have kind of another woman who is, you know, a friend or colleague in country to give them these tips? What would you both tell them to do before they come to India to kind of try to help with this situational awareness, so to speak, in each place that they're planning to travel?
I think, Sarah, coming to India, I would definitely tell everyone, be it solo female traveler or if they are coming with family or couples, everyone should visit India. But of course, you need to keep certain things in mind and read up a little about what is happening in the country right now. And especially read up about the places that you're going to visit. Like, you know, like Sonia mentioned, Jharkhand would be very different from Jaipur, because, you know, where people see a lot of foreign tourists, they are also used to the way in which foreign tourists behave. But in places right. where people have never seen foreign tourists, and A, they will stare at you. So, you know, like, just get used to it, because they're just going to stare and stare at you. But at the same time, I mean, like, read up a little bit about the place and the culture so that you know how to, you know, go about.
Right.
That would be the most important. Otherwise, India is just like any other country. It's just that, you know, you need to be a little careful. Even when I'm traveling to London, I would be a little careful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was in India about 12 years ago, and it was so lovely and so beautiful. I was there for a wedding. But
the best time to be in India. I mean,
yes,
like,
exactly. Indian weddings.
And to be during a wedding, I mean, like, yeah.
Oh,
the best.
It was so much fun. There was an elephant. It was great. The groom came in on an elephant.
Nowadays we have grooms coming in helicopters.
Yeah, it was so much fun. But I did get stared at a lot. For those of you who don't know, I'm a blonde American. So when I was traveling around, depending upon where we were, I did notice that, like you said, in the smaller, more rural places, more than in, you know, Delhi. I would agree. All of you that are listening, go to India, and read up on it first, and situational awareness. I can speak even for New York City. I mean, you know, that's for everyone.
Correct.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for everybody who is planning to visit India, all of the statistics will tell you a certain story, which is true, of course. But I would like to highlight that it's a typically safe country, of course. Like Peden mentioned, read up about where you're going, what you're going to do, and certain cultural norms that are important. But I would like to confirm that as a female having lived in India all my life, I've lived in multiple cities. While, you know, there are statistics around the number of rape cases, I'm not afraid to walk alone on a street even at night.
Right.
Of course, as long as I am more careful, or I would be a little more aware of my surroundings, but I'm not so afraid that I want to lock myself up in my house. So
right.
It is a safe place. It's a great place. So yeah, do visit.
Do visit. Well, Peden, Sonia, thank you so much for talking about this today. Like I said, it's a tough topic, but an important one. And I'm so you know, so thrilled that we got to have this discussion this morning. So thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we will be back next week with another show.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
This has been the Skift Podcast. Thank you for listening.